Coming up next on Ham Nation, we're going to talk about QRZ.com. They've been around for 25 years. Can you believe it? They predate the internet. And they're having a big birthday celebration, and you can win some great ham radio prizes. That and a whole lot more on Ham Nation coming up right now.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation. And by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. Most in-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit dxengineering.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 368 for September 19th, 2018, celebrating 25 years of QRZ.
Hello, everybody. I should have put my name up here bigger because you haven't seen me for a long time. I'm Bob Heil, K9 EID, and we've been running all over the globe, and I do mean that. But we missed you all, and it's good to be back. And I know everything was probably better with me gone, but I'm really happy we're here. And we have a marvelous show tonight, and our guest is very special. How many of you guys and gals dial up QRZ every night, huh? And you probably do it two or three times a day like me. Let's go do around the horn. Let's see, Gordo, what are you doing? You got somebody there with you. What's going on?
Yeah, we're blessed with having special people. I've got Scott Farthing, K6IXQ. Scott, welcome aboard.
Thank you, Gordo, and Ham Nation, all you guys. Hello from the wind system.
Yeah, and you're going to be hearing all about that. And you're going to learn how to make a call all the way across the country with just a little HT, not only on D-Star, but IRLP. Next week, Bob, we've got Joe Spear, president of AMSAT North America. It's going to be right here, and we got some exciting short shots to go along with it. Back to you, Bob.
Okay, good deal. George, how are you doing? You doing well? You and Tommy, you just put out another amateur logic, and just busier than ever, but it's sure good to be back with you again, and really good to work you on the Route 66. I'll talk about that in a minute, but what's happening in Mississippi?
Well, I appreciate you picking me up on the Route 66 special event the other night. That was a lot of fun, and it is just hot here right now. It's been in the mid-90s this week, a little warm for September, but hey, that's what we got right now. Trying to go to these transmitter sites, but stay in the shade as much as possible. Well, we're going to find out tonight, did that crystal radio I built last week work? And we're also going to learn why foxhole radios or crystal radios were popular in World War II.
You got it. All right. We'll be excited to hear that. I'll be back to you. And before we get on to talking to our great guest tonight, I wanted to say that I had a wonderful time working many of you on Route 66 right in the middle of all the pileups one night. There was JDX, so I got to work George. He had a good signal, and he beat the pileup. What can I tell you? So we had an awful lot of fun there. I think I can play this for you. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, you got that right. W6R, this is Kilo Echo 8, India Whiskey, and I'll be clear. It was a pleasure working with you.
That was his first contact.
Oh, wow.
I was impressed. I mean, I knew he was, there's a lot more to that, that recording, but I was really nervous, you could tell. And well, he's just nervous because it's in the pileups. And he'd called a couple of times, and I wondered. I went back to him and found out. And he had an AG. And I worked three or four of those guys, and I really try. I would make everybody stand by, please, especially for QRP or mobiles. And you know what? Most of the guys would do that. They're very polite, but a couple of them wouldn't. But he came up and told me he had just taken his test, and it was his first contact. I was pretty happy about that one. So lots of stuff when we get out there on the old byways. I want to remind everybody that we're on WTWW tonight, the big million watt, 100,000 watt shortwave on 5.085. And Saturday night, you can hear some organ music that I recorded a show last night and sent it up. So we'll be on there Saturday night, but I won't be here live. Hey, there you go. This is an amazing transmitter, an amazing station. If you don't know about WTWW, you want to do that. It has all kinds of great programming. And on Saturday night, after I do the organ concert, why they do rock and roll, and it's just wonderful stuff. You don't hear these guys anymore. I love it. Shortwave is back, and thanks to Ted Randall and his whole family keeping it going. I do want to mention one other thing is this weekend starts the Classic Exchange. And what this is it's not just a contest. It's a way that all of us that have old rigs, and you don't have to have an old rig, but Classic Radios, this weekend is the CW, and then Tuesday is the AM phone, and there's the website. Please go check this out. It's pretty neat, and we have a lot of fun on the Classic Exchange, so be sure you check that out. Just put that into your Google, and you'll learn all about it. And we have a lot of fun. You will find me there when I get home from Albuquerque. I will be there a little Sunday night, but I will be there Tuesday. So check me out. And maybe we can work on some of this AM gear you see back over here and have fun with all of that. And I'm going to Albuquerque, big Hamfest, the Duke City Hamfest. You might want to put it into your search engine and see what they got going. A lot of neat things. I've always enjoyed that. So we'll be in Albuquerque this weekend. But what we're here doing tonight is kind of special for me because I, like you and most everybody, go to QRZ.com at least two or three times a day. Just checking different things, and you can buy gear there. You can talk to people there online with different questions. The main thing is they bring us all of this up-to-date news about this wonderful hobby of ours. And the guy that started it is Fred Lloyd, and he's live with us tonight. Fred, we're so happy to have you, and congratulations. This is your 25th year?
That's right, Bob, and thanks for having me on. It's hard to believe that 25 years have gone by, and here's one interesting thing about it. When I started QRZ, there was no World Wide Web at all.
Oh.
So that's an interesting fact.
How did you do that?
Well,
what format?
The original QRZ was a CD-ROM back when CDs were pretty popular, when CDs were first starting to come out. People were looking for things to put on their computer. And I was discussing, I was on a ham radio chat room, a text chat room online. And this was, again, before the World Wide Web, this was done just using terminal computers. And we talked about ham radio, and somebody said, hey, would sure be nice to get the call sign database. And one thing led to another. I got a copy of it, and I started a dial-up bulletin board. And then after a short while, I met some people on the Internet, and they agreed to let me put my server on their premises. And that was the start of QRZ as we know it today.
My goodness. Well, we all, I know everybody that I know uses QRZ, and we appreciate all you do. As you noticed, when Victor was bringing that up, you do so much for Ham Nation too, and George's Amateur Logic, and we had our wonderful weather gal, and you make sure that everybody knows what's going on, and that's why I look at it every day, because you can see what's going on and what's interest to you, and go find it. So we appreciate you doing all of this. And how many people do you have in your office making all this happen?
Well, QRZ has basically four full-time employees. That includes me, and I'm not really full-time. Jamie, KF7WIS, she's the CEO. And then we have Stephen, VA7STV. He's up in Kelowna, Canada, in British Columbia. And then Todd, KG7MAK, who does nothing but customer support for us. So there's four of us. We don't have an office. We don't have any physical building whatsoever. Everyone works from home. And so we're a true virtual company. All of our servers and everything are in the cloud. We don't own any computers now. We used to, but now everything's in the Amazon cloud. And that has proven to be very, very good for us in terms of performance and everything else.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we need to talk about the big contest, and I'm just going to let you go and tell us what you're doing. This is an amazing sweepstakes. So tell us all about what's happening and what's going to happen and all the prizes people are going to win. My goodness, that's great.
Okay, Bob. Well, that's right. For our 25th anniversary, we're having a sweepstakes, and several sponsors, including Bob Heil, and as well as a few others, have contributed prizes, and we're getting more prizes every day. We just added another new one yesterday. But basically, we're going to have a giant sweepstakes where it costs nothing to join, but we are having a trivia contest. You know, we've been collecting trivia questions for more than 10 years from all over the amateur, all over the internet. And a lot of people have come to us and donated questions to the site. And so now we've got a couple of thousand trivia questions, and we're taking those, and we've announced a daily trivia quiz. And so at the end of the daily trivia quiz, you're automatically entered into the sweepstakes to win one of these great prizes. And let me tell you about these prizes. The grand prize is the new Yaesu FTDX101. This is the new SDR from Yaesu. This radio hasn't even been approved yet from the FCC. So we're hoping it'll be approved any day now. And as soon as it is, it'll be our grand prize. And everyone is really excited about it. Just go to the QRZ website and click on the sweepstakes article, and you can see, you can learn more about that fantastic Yaesu. Also, Bob Heil, as I mentioned before, is a sponsor, and he's giving us one of his new parametric receive audio units. It's a fantastic audio console for your station, and a headset, one of the great Heil headsets, and a powered speaker. It's a great audio system, one, frankly, I'd like to have in my own shack. And thanks a lot, Bob. I'm sure someone's going to really enjoy that. Also, Gigaparts, who's helping us with the grand prize, is also providing an antenna analyzer, a Rig Expert AA55, which is a great tool that should be in any shack. And then our Finder. I don't know if you've seen these Android radios they have or not, but they're really something. It's a dual band, or it's a single band UHF radio it's also a smartphone, if you can believe that. It's an Android smartphone and a dual band radio, and it has the worldwide repeater directory built in. This is fantastic, and I'm, you know, of the prizes that we're getting, Comet Antenna just donated a Model 500 Mark II antenna analyzer. That is on the prize list now. And R&L Electronics has pitched in a 30-amp switching power supply. So that's six prizes already, and I'm sure there's going to be more. You should check back on the site every day. And by the way, each time you play the trivia quiz each day, you're entered in again. Your name goes in the hat again to win one of these prizes. These prizes will be given away individually, so there's going to be a lot of chances to win. In fact, I would say much greater than winning a lot, your typical state lottery. It's going to be really something. And we're going to make the announcement. Let's see. I'll have to get back to you on that. It's in the article. I just forgot the date that the sweepstakes ends. But anyway, it's in about a month from now. But meantime, those are some of the details. And if you have any questions about it, just go to QRZ and look for sweepstakes on the front page and start playing those trivia quizzes. They're a lot of fun, and I should know because I designed them. So back to you, Bob.
Oh, that's great. Well, I am so happy for you. I heard some guys on the air last night that, you know, how we conjugate on 75 meters. We have our little groups. And this one group, they were already in there talking about answering the trivia questions because one of the guys was filling it out. So there's a lot of interest. But we have to do that to support QRZ because I don't know where we'd be without you. And I really personally appreciate all that you and your staff does to make this thing happen for us. It's been just great. So we're looking for another 25 years.
I should tell you about one of the trivia questions. The one that was up there earlier today asked, when did Art Collins start his radio company? And the answer is 1931. But we had a lot of people writing into us that, oh, it was 1933. I was there for the 50th anniversary in 1983. I know. Well, we researched this. As it turns out, Art started his company in 1931 in the basement of his house and then became a real business in 1933. So 1931 gets the credit for the trivia quiz.
Maybe this would be the time to put the trivia question. Why do I wear a lot of purple? I've never told anybody that, but there's an answer, and it all has to do with Heil sound and all that kind of stuff. I have never. Maybe this would be the time I should show my face. We'll have to talk about that. Hey, Gordo, I'm sure you have some comments and some questions for Fred. What do you say?
I think it's great. Fred, the speed that your operation works at, that is the computer speed, is just wonderful. Very easy to look up a call sign. And I know all of us appreciate the fact to look up a person's name and then be able to see potentials that could be on the list. So keep up the good work, Fred. And we sure hope to see you at Quartz Fest in January.
Well, thank
you. That's great.
That's
great. Yeah. Now, George, you get a lot of play on the QRZ pages. I'm sure that you'll have some things to say to Fred. Go ahead, George.
Oh, yeah. Fred, thanks so much for the fantastic website there. I just had one question I'm always curious of. Did you have any idea when you started it how popular it would become?
You know, I didn't really. When I got started, things were so simple back then. I mean, literally, it was dial-up bulletin board with a modem. And when I started my web page, and I have a picture of it somewhere, the first web page, it just had a few things on it. You know, I didn't really know what was going. I was sort of just sharing what I had with other people. Really, the impetus was for the whole thing was to sell the CDs. And so I just made them easy to buy and kept collecting the data. And it was all about the data, all about keeping the data. And it was basically just a labor of love. It was about 5 years later when I was when I was on vacation and with a small shortwave radio. I was out in the South Pacific, and I was sitting on a beach listening to a couple of people talk on ham radio, and one of them said, "Hey, I'm good on QRZ. How about you?" And when I heard that, I thought, I think this is going to be big. So, oh, wow.
Well, thanks a lot for doing it, Fred. Certainly has really been an asset to the ham community. I doubt there are many hams who don't visit QRZ just real frequently. Anytime I want to know somebody's call sign or who this particular person is, there's always the answer right there.
Yeah, I've got a lot of funny stories about it. You know, some people get angry at us for, you know, a variety of things. If they don't like our policy or this or that or whatever. And sometimes the guys will say, "Well, take me off your site, remove me right now." And so we say, "Okay," and we do. It's funny thing is, a few weeks later, they come back and say, "Please put me back on the site. People are starting to call me a pirate now on the air."
Well, yeah, it's certainly that's the first place. And in most cases, the only place you go to look, and it's not just the FCC data there. You know, you've got more. It's been curated. People can add their own content there with their call sign. So great resource. And thanks, Fred, and the whole crew.
Thank you, George. I appreciate it.
We really appreciate you being here. Any last words you want to tell us other than everybody go over there and get into the contest? Any last words and thing that you want to tell us that's coming or whatever?
Yes, I want to sincerely thank the whole ham community for making QRZ what it is, for the support that you've given me. Our entire family here at QRZ thanks you as well. And, you know, I want you to know that, you know, QRZ is a business, but it's also my heart. My heart was in it the day it was founded, and it's going to be in it, you know, permanently, because, you know, that's what QRZ is all about. It's about amateur radio and making it, as you know, the best hobby that it can be, and to serve all the amateurs and all the people that have helped me. It's the big 360 where it all comes back. And, I'm so glad that you're here. And, as long as I'm here and beyond, QRZ will be there for you. Thank you all so very much.
We're so so proud of you and appreciate all that you do, and we'll look forward to hearing about the contest, who wins it all. And I can share all your sentiments. We're going into our 53rd year, and Heil Sound started out as a hobby, but look what happened. But it's all about the people behind me, that's for sure. Thanks, Fred, for your time today. Hello to your wife, your family, and everybody at QRZ, and we'll keep you in mind on this contest. We want to hear who's going to win all that. So maybe we'll have you back and you can talk about that. So,
all right.
Thanks
thank you,
very
Bob.
Much.
Appreciate it. 73.
All right. So, yeah. There you go. Well, and not much to be said about it because everybody knows about QRZ, I'm sure. And Gordo, I bet you use it at least twice or three times a day like I do, and what would we do without it? So you and Scott tell us all about what's happening in Costa Mesa and the wind system. That's a fabulous thing, you know.
It really is, especially for new hams. And I'm going to let Scott maybe describe some of the great shots that we're going to see here. So, Victor, if you don't mind, let's go ahead and roll the short shots. And here's Scott. What have we got, Scott?
Well, this is Steve, K6UFX's RV. He's the general manager of the wind system. And this is at our wind system campout in Buellton, which was this past weekend. We had a bunch of members there, and this is one of the T-shirts that we've have available on our website, wind system, winsystem.org. And that's Steve, the general manager there. With that always grin that he has. Those are the wine cottages there behind it. You can see Shorty, myself, and K6 MID in the background there. And yeah, so we had a really good camp out, and it was great to have Gordo and his wife there in the Gordo machine here, the communications unit.
Yeah, I was like the smallest unit there, and everybody had their big screen TVs and things like that. But I had one unit that everybody said, wait a minute, what's that? And what that is a flat panel, direct TV antenna. And it's small enough to fit under our bunks, and you don't even know it's there. And it goes out, and it has probably within 1 dB the same gain as some of the dishes. Although it's not high def, it's a great way to understand phased array technology, flat panels taking the place of dish antennas.
And this here, this is... let's see, I've lost my place. This is W6ROD, Rod, from San Jose on the left there. And Rich, W7VTX, the webmaster.
What we have here was the rigs he brought down. And this points out the need to always have the instruction manual handy because he downloaded it. We couldn't quite get the amplifier to come on or the tuner to quite do what it was supposed to. And we finally figured out we'd plugged into the wrong jack, and we didn't realize it until after we got through. And then he was on the air big time. And then Friday night.
Saturday night, actually. Oops, this is Friday. The Insomniac Net that runs every night at 11 p.m. Pacific, 365 days a year. So this is Steve starting from left again. Steve, K6KYA, the computer and internet guru of the Wind System. Again, Steve UFX, the general manager. And there sitting down in the green shirt is N5ZUA, the net control operator for the Insomniac Net.
And this was actually Friday night when we were doing that is the Insomnia Net afterwards, but Friday night we were doing
the TechNet.
That's right.
And after that is the SwapNet. So, yes, you're right, Gordo. It was Friday night, but Steve also does the Saturday night from the campground every year, and it's a fest.
It was fun. As you can see, he takes good notes. Well, Saturday morning, it's time to break out the test equipment.
Yeah. So here we have four Quantars. Motorola Quantars, and that's what we're switching to on the Wind System for our repeaters. They're 110-watt output. This is a service monitor here and a digital oscilloscope used to tune the frequency and the audio levels on the Quantars.
Now, whose gear is this? This is like the Wind System or personal gear?
Everything, most of the stuff is personal, guys. Like, for instance, this is Chuck, N6GYY there on the left. And the Shortmeister, the owner and founder, Shorty, of the Wind System. And that's Rod. I'm sorry, Robert, over on the right. We'll see him later. His REK. He does some satellite feeds that are intriguing. So this is the back of a Quantar. You can see that the cables aren't all hooked up yet, but it's modular so that you can replace a PA. You can simply undo one screw, slide out the PA, and replace it. And here is Shorty and Bob Taylor.
And they're tuning one of the, duplexers?
Yes, it's a duplexer.
And it's a job because as soon as you adjust one, then you got to go to the other one. And then you've got to go to the other one to adjust this one. And it took a good hour and a half of constant work to get it notched and get it peaked.
Yes, and here you'll see they're actually isolating one of the cavities so that they can do the single cavity because they were having an issue with it. And that's Bob, KF6QYX. That's Bob Taylor's son, and he's a huge asset to the Wind System. Here's Shorty tuning it with another service monitor that is Steve UFX's. You'll see the dummy load on the right side, and then he's got some input over on the left. so that he can tune the duplexer.
Now, all these wires. Look at this. We even have the wiring diagram ahead of time, huh?
Yes, and normally we use a mark slot and we color each wire according to which wire we're going to use. And so you'll have it mark slotted. Now, here's somebody's tinning. Now, we use RG174 for audio, and people find that rather interesting, but it's shielded, so we get a lot less interference on the system. And this is a Klein wire stripper. You see that it's stripped there in the center. You just simply put the wire in, and it will strip it. On the next shot, you'll see there's four wires. Well, you can actually come back with that stripper and strip all four of those wires to the same length at the same time. It's a nice tool that we use on the wind system.
Wow, sure beats doing it by hand with a pair of diagonals, huh?
Yes, and here's Chuck, the repeater maintenance manager for the wind system, and he's wishing he didn't drink so much coffee that morning.
And he's going to good old technology, the old technology of a magnifying glass, which, as you can see, you're going to need. Wow, that's small work, huh?
Yes, it is. It's tight. And you can see the in and out audio over to the left there, and your control wires. Now you see the marks a lot, so we don't make stupid mistakes, which, you know, nobody ever does.
And many of the wind system members, including myself, are all looking over their shoulders, so the pressure was on. And look at this. Everything came out as it should, huh?
Yes, negative 32 dBm for the receiver to open. That is one hot receiver.
It sure is. Wow. And what's the units on top, Scott?
Okay, well, this, again, is a Motorola Quantar. In the middle there, that's a dual power supply tray rack mount. And then above that is an RLC4 controller. You'll see the wire that we made earlier down on the Quantar. It's a little chrome parallel connector there, and it goes up to the RLC4, which controls the in and out of the audio and DTMF commands. And
then it's time for the real voice to see what the voice sounds like. And I think Lloyd came through loud. And by the way, Bob, that's one of your headsets. No wonder he had such a good voice, huh?
That's Lloyd, KM6FDD, in case you can't read his wind system shirt there that he got on the website. Wind system, winsystem.org. And not to plug it or anything.
And those are popular shirts, and he was a great well, you look happy with a completed repeater.
Yep. Happened to see some guy with a camera in my face, but that's Chuck over to my right and Steve there. So I have to keep them separated so they don't hit each other.
Now, there was other things going on during this three-day get-together in Buellton, California, of wind system members. And we had a whole bunch, and that's Bob, N6REK, one of the wind system members. And Bob was a real satellite guru. And in fact, next week, when we have Joe Spear, president of AMSAT North America here, we're going to hear some of the great satellite contacts that can be made with just a little aero antenna. And I think he worked about, what, five or six different stations, huh?
Yes, he has audio. He's going to forward it to me. So I don't know if you want to bring it on at another time, but we don't have it with us.
We sure will. And that was, we were in Charlie Mike 94, and that's sort of a rare grid square next to the Pacific. Now, nothing worse than a big rig that Chuck, AF6, gosh darn, GD, this man has no fear. He took this Kenwood, I think it's a TS790, that had a bad battery. And we all know that on some rigs, the batteries are so important to keep everything humming. Luckily, there was enough memory in this radio to keep things going during the battery change. But guess what? The battery leaked. And when a battery leaks battery acid, you know what's going to happen next. And that is the circuit board is toasted and you deep six that particular board. Oh, no. not Chuck, AF6GD, he went ahead and he soldered each one of those soldered traces out there in the open with the wind blowing, finally got the rig back together, and it's working. Only had a wind system get together. Oh, now this is great. Everybody asks, where does the word ham come from? I think it comes from had a lot of money before buying all the rigs, but Hertz, Armstrong, and Marconi, that's not macaroni, that's Marconi, because the macaroni comes here.
And this is the food line with Mark from Vista, and I forgot his call sign. But anyway, this is the food line there on Saturday when we had the group barbecue. And here we have Steve and myself with the 28th annual Wind System cake brought by Rod. And Rod, we really appreciate that W6ROD. I don't know if you see it there. It's a pretty trick idea. What he did was he put a bunch of cupcakes together and put frosting on it so you don't have to cut the cake. Pretty tricky.
That is great. Now, tell folks, if you wouldn't mind, Scott, how to tune in to the wind system if they don't have a wind system repeater here in the USA or abroad.
Well, there's multiple ways to do it, Gordo. What you can do is go onto the website, winsystem.org. And if you look over on the left, you can see streaming audio, which will play a 20-second delayed audio. So you can also listen to your self-talk, so you can listen for a radio check. And also, up at the top of the screen, oh, very good, there's repeaters. And when you, that right there, that is our Las Vegas solar site, runs completely on solar. But anyway, if you click on the repeaters up there at the top, it lists all our permanently connected repeaters, which are about 100. And then that doesn't include guests. So we're on All-Star and IRLP. All-Star node 2560 is our hub, and our reflector for IRLP is 9100. And so it's an open system. Everybody's welcome throughout the world, and it's a great system. And let's see, we're going to go on. Well, now, who's that? Oh, that's that girl that owns that satellite plate.
That's right. Yeah. That's Susie, N6GLF. And she's making sure that all of the great desserts that Steve and the team brought are suitable for all of us to eat. And weren't they the best, Tom?
Oh, they were. I'm diabetic, and I snuck a few.
Now, what's a get-together without a grand prize? So this was the drawing that they had at this Buellton get together. We had just under maybe 100 of the Wind System members and guests, and even some hams that at the big RV park at Flying Flags came in to see what all the excitement was about. And we had a winner, huh?
Yeah, that was an Elinco DJ500 that was donated by the Wind System to the raffle. We also raffled off an FTM100DR, which is a dual-band Yaesu radio that has fusion in it. And so that was a lot of fun. And there's myself with the big guy, Shorty, at K6JSI.
And Shorty has done so much as the founder of the Wind System. And how old is the Wind System? Gosh.
It is 28 years old.
Wow. And so, Shorty, he's now into other things beyond the Wind System, but he's very active on the Wind System. And what a great guy. And you two certainly look like you were having one time. And here it is.
Let the feast begin. So that's that's just about, that's most of the people. Well, except the Gordo guy, he was taking the picture.
I was.
But well, we sure had a lot of fun.
We did. And Scott, thank you so much for joining us. And Victor, thank you for the extra shots. That was just great. So the gear in the comm van, a lot of it is ICOM America gear, as well as this gear here. So, Scott, let's take a tour and see what's happening over at ICOM America.
Woohoo!
Heard it, worked it, logged it. It's time to get the transceiver that's best suited for your lifestyle. ICOM offers a variety of high-performance and innovative products. See how you can make the most out of contest season with these transceivers. The competitive edge you've been looking for, raise the bar and hear what others cannot with this flagship HF 50 MHz transceiver, the IC7851. Reciprocal mixing dynamic range, crystal clear local oscillator design, spectrum scope, dual receivers, and digital voice recorder. The IC7610 is the SDR every ham wants, and just in time for contesting season. This high-performance SDR has the ability to pick out the faintest signals, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. The new ICOM IC7610 is a direct sampling, software-defined radio that will change the world's definition of a SDR transceiver. RF direct sampling, 110 RMDR, independent dual receiver, dual digicell. IC7300 is changing the way entry-level HF is designed. This high-performance, innovative HF transceiver with a compact design will far exceed your expectations. RF direct sampling, 15 discrete bandpass filters, large 4.3-inch color touchscreen, real-time spectrum scope, and SD memory card slot. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
And you can tune in and enter to win. After each episode of Ham Nation, go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation and register to win great swag prizes like T-shirts and hats, and learn how you can win the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. For September, that's the ICOM ID5100A VHF, UHF, dual band, dual watch, D-Star transceiver. It's got a large touchscreen display. It does simultaneous FM-FM, FM-DV, or DV-DV dual watch receive, built-in GPS, and there's an available Bluetooth board that works with the RS-MS-1A Android app. So go to ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation after this and each episode of Ham Nation and register to win. Sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America, Inc. on Facebook and Twitter. And I also want you to check out registering for this radio right here, the IC7300. You can get all the details, amateurlogic.tv/contest. It's a prize package with the ICOM IC7300, Howl ICM microphone, and Howl BM17 headset, 50 foot of coax from MFJ, along with an MFJ big stick antenna, which if you can see it there, and a Gordo study guide. What more could you want to get started into amateur radio? Everything you need there. And if that's not enough, we're also going to throw in a pair of Fogold PL259 connectors. Now, these are not recommended for putting on coax. Strictly a decorative item, in my opinion, but somebody's going to get them anyway. So amateurlogic.tv/contest, go there, check it out, and check the details. Please only register once on that, because you'll be disqualified if you register more than once. We'll be giving that away in October. Well, you know, last week we talked about the crystal radio set that I built back in episode, I believe it was episode 10 of Ham Nation, way back in the early days. This week, we're going to find out if it works and make a couple of mods, too.
Before we begin testing our crystal radio set, I thought it might be fun to take a look at some of the many variations of crystal sets throughout the years. Now, the name crystal comes from the fact that the detector of the radio is a piece of crystal, usually galena. Another name for the detector would be rectifier or diode. We used a diode in our kit here from Vectronix. Some of the earliest sets used what they call a cat whisker, which was a little piece of wire that would come in contact with the crystal. Now, there have been a lot of variations over the years. The earliest crystal radios had no tuning. It was simply the detector, a set of headphones, and a long wire antenna, and of course a ground. Later, tuned circuits were added in the form of a coil that was tuned to the frequency that you wanted to receive. There are variations on that.
that made the coil adjustable so that you could select the number of turns in the coil for tuning. Later variations used a capacitor in conjunction with a fixed coil so that you could tune with the variable capacitor. One variation of the Crystal set that really caught my attention was the Foxhole radio. These were used by GIs during World War I to listen to broadcasts. They usually were constructed of wire, toilet paper roll, and for the diode, they would use a blued razor blade and a piece of carbon. So let's test our set now and see how it turned out. So I'm going to stick this little dude here in my ear and turn this knob and see if I hear anything.
The Columbia Broadcasting System and its affiliated stations present Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater on the air in The War of the Worlds.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Actually, I hear several radio stations all at once. As I mentioned earlier, I was picking up a lot of stations at once, and that is possible when you live around a lot of high-power transmitters like I do. I did some adjusting with the antenna and ground system here, and seemed to get a little better result. I also disconnected the headphone here and hooked up a set of wires going to an amplifier that I'm feeding the signal into right now so that hopefully you can hear. Let's tune around a little bit and see what we've got. There's one station. All right, let's tune down a little further.
Car owners, are you driving without warranty protection? Is your current auto warranty about to expire? Cover America Auto is announcing inexpensive breakdown coverage.
And there's one station
that can save you.
That's very strong there. And that one's not too far from me. It's probably 3 miles away. And they run a directional pattern. And obviously, I'm in one of the main lobes of it because I'm getting a good signal on them. But I was picking up a couple other stations earlier. The antenna and ground system are fairly sensitive here and will have a great effect on things. So there you go. Free AM radio. No power.
I was curious if I could hear my 80-meter HF transmissions on this medium-frequency receiver. And apparently I can. This is 10 watts of AM.
I couldn't help but think how cool it would be if I could get a razor blade to work with this one in place of the diode. Well, you can't buy a blue razor blade anymore, so you have to make your own, and that involves heating up the razor blade really hot with a torch.
So will our blued razor blade and a pencil lead work in place of the rectifier?
1300 WOAD.
We received an email from Bill, K5LN, who said seeing the Crystal set really brought back great memories for him, and he sent us some pictures of his favorite set. Now, this is the front view of the set right here. You can tell he's gone into good detail on this one, and this is more than just a simple detector. Looking at the rear, we can see that the Crystal set itself has three sections. On the right-hand side are two notch filters, and I suppose that he built these so that he could tune out particularly strong stations to be able to hear some lesser signal ones. He also had an S meter on it. This is the only Crystal set I've ever seen with an S meter. The middle section is the antenna tuner so that he can tune into the particular frequency that he's interested in, no matter what length of antenna he's using. And then the left-hand side is the Crystal set itself. Bill, that's one fine-looking radio. Thanks for sharing the pictures with us.
And that was a lot of fun. And, yeah, you know, I built several of those when I was a kid. None of them ever worked. But finally, the last couple I've done work just fine. And that's a lot of fun. If you've never built one before, it's worth a try. You know, mostly junk parts, or you can get the kit there from Vectronics and get everything in one. Well, you know, last week, since we were talking about crystal radios, I asked a question. With better radio designs readily available at the time, why were crystal radios, or also known as foxhole radios, popular during World War II? And there is a good reason for that. And Bill Sterling, K4000, knew the answer. He said, the reason that crystal radios could not be detected by the enemy because they had no local oscillator. A typical radio's oscillator could be detected by direction-finding equipment, so the crystal radio was perfect for use with POWs, or actually anyone trying to hide from the enemy. The Germans did actually have detecting equipment that could pick up the local oscillator on a nearby receiver, and you didn't want to be the guy there at the end of the receiver. So, actually, personal-powered radios were prohibited. So, no super heterodynes could be used over in the war zone at that time, at least by the military. Anyway, congratulations, Bill. You're going to win, and not this one because I'm keeping it. A DX Engineering silkscreen T-shirt. Courtesy of our friends at DX Engineering. For next week, I've got another question here. You know, the crystal on that receiver set is called a detector. What's another name you could use instead of detector for the function that crystal provides? If you think you know the answer, send it to me, and you could be the lucky winner of an MFJ three-way coax switch here. This is a very handy coax switch, very heavy duty. This one has type N connectors, but they're also available with SO239s to fit your PL259s. These are good, well, up to 800 megahertz. You can do 2 kilowatts through one of these. A very nice switch. Nicely shielded, heavy construction, courtesy MFJ. I just want to know, what's another name for a detector? If you think you know the answer, hamnationcontest@gmail.com. And speaking of this DX Engineering silkscreen T-shirt right here, here's Donnie.
Them DX Engineering silkscreen T-shirts in this DX Engineering catalog I got right here in front of me. By the way, my vote for what it's called is doohickey. That's my vote. Doohickey. Probably not going to win, but doohickey.
No.
And failing that, that thing right there. That's what I call it. Do it. That thing right there. That's what I call it. You gotta do the finger. That thing right there. That's
that
my
could
vote.
Be
all right. Well, see, that's so I can't be wrong, can I? See?
No.
I got kidneys.
Kidneys.
I think I heard an echo.
I hear a knocking sound.
It's the rocks rattling around. Hey, if you need a high-quality, high-performance wire antenna for your crystal set or your high-dollar HF rig or whatever, specifically for portable operation or even there at home, you're not going to find a better place to select one then at whereelsedxengineering.com. Go there, enter wire antenna in the search box to view the wide selection. Here are three trusted brands that you'll find there. Chameleon, got its name because the antennas adapt to an operator's changing needs, including mobile, portable, base station, marine, skywarn, emergency prep, just about any purpose you can think of. If you choose that Chameleon portable HF antenna, it covers 160 through 6. They're perfect for hams who want to stay active but live in deed-restricted lots or are looking for a rapid deployment communication system. Lightweight but capable of surviving harsh conditions. They require absolutely no changing of switches, jumpers, or coils. Their simple design and Integrated impedance matching transformer does not require any special assembly tools either. Brand new is the MCOM 3 portable HF antenna. It's great for hiking, backpacking, and camping. And, of course, MCOM can be deployed in the field in less than 15 minutes and configured to facilitate near vertical incident skywave communication. And that's cool stuff. Buckmaster's multi-band off-center fed dipole HF antennas give you exceptional performance and rock-solid reliability. They're built with high-quality components for years of trouble-free operating, and these antennas are designed as a simple way to get on the air quickly and work multiple bands. They're shipped ready to go with no trimming or assembly required, come completely potted, waterproof baling, no external connectors, available for 4, 7, or 8-band operation, too. And Alpha Delta has an impressive lineup of high-performance, time-proven wire antennas covering all HF bands, including 160 and the Warp bands. They have parallel wire slopers, twin slopers, HF shortwave listening slopers, single-wire multi-band dipoles, single-band full-size dipoles, parallel dipoles, and parallel shortwave listening dipoles. They're shipped pre-assembled as well, ready to install, and these value-priced antennas feature 12-gauge solid copper wire, efficient Alpha Delta ISO-RES RF choke coils, and quality insulators. Another ideal antenna for MCOM operations when space is limited. You got to go to DX Engineering because DX Engineering ships faster than anybody else in the industry. Most orders placed by 10 p.m. Eastern are shipped same day. With proven products and expert advice, DX Engineering is truly helping you shrink the globe. Request a catalog or shop online 24/7 at dxengineering.com/hamnation. I love wire antennas. I've got two of them here at my shack. I've got a 160 off-center fed, and I've got an 80-meter off-center fed. And that 80-meter works great on 6 meters as well. Beauty of wire antennas is you don't got to put them upright. You just got to put them up. And mine are not put up right, but I've worked the world on them. And, man, go get you a wire antenna from DX Engineering. I promise you, you're going to love it. Something else you're going to love is the news of the week from Amateur Radio Newsline and Dr. T's Solar Update. Let's do that now. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2133, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, September 19th, 2018. As Amateur Radio Newsline went to air Friday, September 14th, Hurricane Florence was pounding the Carolinas on the east coast of the United States. The storm has been downgraded significantly, but the threat is still there, and radio amateurs are assisting. We'll have a full report on their efforts as they come in. Meanwhile, a historic Voice of America relay station in Ohio takes to the airwaves via amateur radio. Here's Newsline's Jim Dameron, N8TMW.
If you're in the shack anytime on September 22nd between 1300 and 2100 UTC, tune to 20 or 40 meters and help the Bethany Relay Station of the Voice of America mark the 74th anniversary of its commissioning on September 23rd, 1944. WC8VOA will be operating a special event station, offering both a QSL card and a downloadable commemorative certificate. Afterward, in another part of the distinctive Art Deco building in Westchester, Ohio, the National VOA Museum of Broadcasting will be hosting a fundraising event from 5:30 to 10:30 p.m. local time to support needed building renovations. If you can't get there, however, get on the air. While WC8VOA's HF equipment and antennas aren't the original ones dating back to 1944, the spirit of VOA history is surely still there on the air.
In California's Sonoma County, organizers are combining an air show with a radio show. Special event station, K6W.
Sonoma County, California has struggled to rise above the ashes of the recent wildfire devastation. And on September 22nd and 23rd, the county's spirit gets a boost from dozens and dozens of wings. The kind of wings you'll find at the air show taking place at the Charles M. Schultz Sonoma County Airport on those 2 days. The Wings Over Wine Country Air Show will feature aerobatic performances, the U.S. Air Force Academy skydiving team, and flybys of historic planes from World War II. Just as the aircraft overhead put on their shows, the Sonoma County radio amateurs will be demonstrating on the ground. Special event call sign K6W will be activated on 20 and 40 meters, depending on band conditions. No wonder the event theme is Rising Together, a celebration of recovery in Sonoma County. After a challenging season, everyone there will want to know that things are looking up. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Andy Morrison, K9AWM.
You've probably heard of the Navajo Code Talkers. Paul Brown, WD9GCO, talked with the proud son of one of them and learned how this ham recently honored his father.
One of the most fascinating stories to come out of World War II is that of the Navajo Code Talkers, a group of Native Americans who were recruited by the military to exchange tactical messages in a code based on their native language. It was a practically unbreakable code due to the obscurity of the Navajo language and the limited number of people who actually knew it. The Code Talkers have been getting some recognition in recent years, but one man, Herb Goodluck, N7HG, a Navajo himself, organized a special event to honor them.
I started this 2004 in commemoration of the Navajo Code Talkers.
Goodluck is the son of the late John V. Goodluck, and he wanted to bring awareness to their story.
Since my father had become a silent key in the year 2000, I'm trying to figure out how to keep the legacy going.
Goodluck said that the event is usually listed as N7 Charlie in QST and on the ARRL website. We would also suggest that you take some time to research and read up on the story of the Code Talkers, Navajo or otherwise. Those brave men contributed a lot to the war effort and deserve recognition. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at arnewsline.org. With Jim Dameron, N8TMW, Andy Morrison, K9AWM, Paul Brown, WD9GCO, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. Now here's the solar update with Dr. Tamitha Scove, WX6SWW.
We have a coronal hole that has rotated into the Earth strike zone, and it's sending us some more fast wind. But luckily for emergency responders to Hurricane Florence, the effects thus far are pretty mild. That story and more in the news this week. Space weather this week has really calmed down, although it doesn't really look like it on the sun. We have a massive coronal hole that has rotated into the Earth strike zone, but the shape of this coronal hole has meant that the fast wind that it's sending us is slowly ramped up over the last couple days, which really limits its impact. On top of that, the magnetic field from this fast wind also isn't all that conducive for solar storming, so impacts thus far have been pretty mild, and they will continue to be this way. This is great news for amateur radio operators, shortwave operators, as well as emergency responders to Hurricane Florence, who are having to deal with the hundreds of thousands who are still without power, and all of the search and rescue that is being done via helicopter and reconnaissance by GPS drone. All of this is still ongoing. This is all wonderful news because you probably won't have any more impacts easily over the next 2 weeks. Switching to your M-flare threat meter, you can see we are extremely low when it comes to the X-ray flux and therefore by proxy the solar flux. This is what solar minimum looks like, folks. We've pretty much bottomed out. We're well below the B floor when it comes to X-ray flux. Solar flux is easily in the upper 60s, which means that's poor radio propagation on Earth's day side. The only thing that's helping us a little bit is the fact that we have this fast wind. It's kind of helping propagation just a little bit. So you might enjoy a little bit of propagation on the bands, but probably propagation is going to be a little bit better for you at night than even during the daytime. And unfortunately, with the spotless sun that we have, these conditions may continue for the next 2 weeks. Switching to our solar storm conditions, you can see the last time we actually reached storm levels was back on the 14th. And this was the tail end of that big solar storm we had back on September 11th when we reached G2 storm levels. So since then, we've been kind of calming down and calming down. We actually jumped down to quiet conditions for a short while, and now we've bumped back up to unsettled conditions. And this is due to that fast wind from that coronal hole that's in the Earth strike zone right now. But again, this is not going to be anything but just mild conditions. I'd be surprised if we bumped up to active conditions. We might, but I doubt it. And then things will continue to settle down after this, and we should have pretty much unsettled to quiet conditions for the next 2 weeks. So what else does the sun have in store for us this week? Well, this is Stereo A. It's our backside monitor. You can see here's Earth, here's the sun, and here's Stereo A staring at the sun from behind. And what you can see when you look at the sun's backside, well, pretty much nothing. We got a finger-like coronal hole that's rotated into Earth view. It's going to be sending us a little bit of fast wind here in the next week or so, but it's probably not going to get us above maybe unsettled conditions. So aurora photographers, outside of that, you have the next 2 weeks off pretty much. So you're going to have to go over and pour over your old photos from the last 2 weeks of some brilliant solar storming. Now, as far as amateur radio operators and shortwave radio operators go, especially those who are responding to Hurricane Florence, well, we have a couple remnant bright spots on the sun's backside, but they're not going to be enough to boost the solar flux for you. So radio propagation is still going to stay in the poor range for the conditions, and that's going to continue for the next couple weeks. The nice thing, however, is that we also don't have any more coronal holes. We don't have any more fast wind, and so likely the storm conditions are going to be non-existent. So that will give you some decent chances of getting communications in and out of the hurricane torn areas, where I know hundreds of thousands are still without power and emergency rescues are still being made daily. Switching to your solar storm conditions and aurora possibilities over the coming week, we are in the middle of the fast wind coming from that massive coronal hole that's rotated into the Earth's strike zone. At high latitudes, NOAA is expecting unsettled conditions with about a 40% chance of a major storm. But this chance is probably for sporadic conditions. This is not sustained. At mid-latitudes, we're also expecting unsettled conditions with only about a 30% chance of active conditions. And then things should continue to calm down throughout the week. And by the time we hit the weekend, things should be pretty quiet. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook over the coming week, everything is in the green when it comes to solar flares. We have a spotless sun right now, so there's no risk for radio blackouts. But what this does mean is that we are back into the 60s for solar flux. Now, this is good news for GPS users, especially at low latitudes. You guys should be enjoying some decent GPS reception right now. But this is bad news for amateur and shortwave radio operators, as well as to the emergency responders of Hurricane Florence. We're dealing with low radio propagation conditions right now, and this is going to continue on Earth's day side easily for the next couple of weeks. Now, because this is also solar minimum, we're dealing with a higher penetration of cosmic rays than we normally would get. So you frequent flyers, and this includes the air crew who fly more than 800 hours annually and fly at high latitudes and high altitudes, you guys are at marginal range for radiation dose right now. So please take this into consideration in your flight plans. So the space weather this week is really calming down. We do have a massive coronal hole that's in the Earth strike zone right now, and it's sending us some fast wind. But the shape of this hole, along with the magnetic polarity of the wind that's coming out, really just isn't conducive for some big solar storming. So we're sitting at unsettled conditions right now, which is most likely where we're going to stay. And then we'll continue to calm down as the week progresses. And then that's pretty much it. So aurora photographers, easily over the next 2 weeks, you're probably going to be needing to take a little bit of a break. Now, amateur radio and shortwave radio operators, as well as the first responders to Hurricane Florence, well, radio propagation isn't looking too good on Earth's day side right now. We are in the poor range for solar flux, which means radio propagation on Earth's day side will continue to be poor. And that's the story for the next 2 weeks. So most likely CW and some of the new digital modes may be the way to go. But because we are having kind of these unsettled conditions, you know, if propagation on the day side doesn't work for you, try Earth's night side. You might be surprised. You might get a little bit of a boost there. So just try that out. Now, as far as GPS users are concerned, well, you guys are looking pretty good. Even on the dawn dusk terminators and at low latitudes, your reception should be pretty nice easily over the next 2 weeks. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Always good to have Dr. T on the team here. And if you don't follow her on Twitter, make sure you do, at Tamitha Scove. I promise you it will enrich your life and help your understanding. Complicated subject, but as you see from these reports, she has a really good talent for boiling it down and making it really easy to understand. We do not have our girl, there you go, spaceweatherwoman.com. We don't have our girl Amanda tonight, so no chat room questions, unfortunately. Maybe we'll get her back next week, but I will tell you where the nets are tonight. There is no 20-meter net tonight, so don't go looking on 20. 7192 is the 40-meter net. 14 Charlie, of course, is the D-Star. TAC 312 is the DMR. I heard that on there just a second ago. I tuned into that just for a minute. I may check in. And Echolink, of course, is the Star Do Drop In conference server. So check that out. And I guess that'll do it for us, and we'll see you next week. Let's go around the horn and see who all is left. And Gordo, you have any final words for words of wisdom for us here?
Wow, 2 weeks of no sunspots. I guess we're going to play HF radio big time. Have a great week, all of you.
Gordo, thanks a lot. Always good to have you on here. Appreciate you so much. And my buddy up to the north, my Mississippi brother, what's happening up there? Any final words for us tonight, George?
Well, just as you know, Don, it's been extremely hot here this week and dry. So I'm hoping for a little break in that because it's getting hard to find a good shady spot with a breeze in it anymore. And I noticed Gordo. Gordo, is that a DX Engineering shirt you have on there? Oh, you took it off.
That's a DIY DX.
It's an iron-on. You bet. And I'm a big fan of DX Engineering because all the great stuff they have, it's proven to be the best.
Okay, cool. Well, I don't know about y'all, but I had a good time tonight. And Don has a catalog. That'll work too, Don.
Got a little reading material here, you know.
Yeah. Bob is going to be in Albuquerque, I believe, for the Hamfest this weekend. So I'm not sure if he's going to be back next week or not. I hope he is. But back to you, Don.
Very good. Well, I'll be back next week, provided that we survive the trip to and from California, leaving at 5 o'clock in the morning to go to Oklahoma. Did I say California? Oklahoma. To my 40th high school reunion, and those of you who've been following this, I get to meet my sister tomorrow for the first time.
Wow!
So yeah, I'm. There are no words. There just aren't. So with that, let's wish everybody a good night, and we'll report back on what happens to me over the weekend with my new family. So. For all of us here with Ham Nation, Victor back in Petaluma, we appreciate you watching so much, and we couldn't and wouldn't do it without you. So we appreciate your time and you've invested in watching us and the TWiT Network. So 7-3, everybody, and we'll see you next week here on TWiT and Ham Nation. Good night, everybody.